Welcome to Both Down 182, the number one Blood Bowl podcast.
With Goblin Coaches.
I don't know.
I had to come up with something. Yes, and I'm Steve, a.k.a. Kilwaukee Campbell.
I was trying to show him to, like, I was pointing at him.
Scott pointed at me, and I did not catch on.
How are you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. Yourself?
I'm hurting really bad.
You want to get closer to the microphone so people can hear you?
You still can't hear me?
I mean, can, but not great.
Oh.
Normally, you're a lot louder. Scott's trying to be quiet because the girl and the boyfriend are doing homework. So
yeah, they're college kids, so they're doing their homework, and they're actually working on it, which surprises me because 2 hours ago, I didn't think they'd still be working on homework, but here we are.
Hey, if it works, it works.
Oh, I've overdone it. Old man walking, overdid it these last 24 hours. So I'm just worn out. I'm hoping the ibuprofen kicks in any time now since I took it about 20 minutes ago.
That's fair.
You want to see what I got?
Sure. Yeah, what'd you get?
This is not Blood Bowl related. We'll get to that in a second.
I'm guessing it's comic then.
So while I was not even thinking about ever collecting comics or reading comics or anything, I remember when my aunt moved out of my grandmother's house, which I was probably maybe six, maybe younger, in one of the spare, what turned into the spare bedroom, had a lot of old board games and just like kid stuff, army men, things like that.
Yeah.
I found one of these, not that it's a big deal, but one of my, there's a few comics that I remember owning as like an early, like treasure in my world. It's like something I wanted to own. This weekend, me and Gary and Robert went to like a garage sale that was around here that had comic books. Then we hit a couple other comic book stores, just kind of looking around for stuff.
Yeah.
Cheap stuff, obviously. And came across, this guy had a Yang number one by Charleston Comics, 1973. He wanted like $10 for it. It was half price, so it was $5. I didn't really want to pay $5 for it. Was looking through his 10 and under boxes, which all those books were only a dollar. So this one was labeled $8.
Okay.
And I got it for a dollar. So this comic, this Charleston comic, and I believe either was there a DC comic named Rima or Rama?
Yeah. Rima, the Jungle Goddess or whatever.
Okay.
R-I-M-A. Yeah.
Yes. R-I-M-A. I remember my grandma had like two copies of two different issues of that. And this I remember looking through as a kid.
I've never seen that in my life.
Well, I went ahead and bought it. And Gary teased me like, are you actually going to read it? Well, I read it right before as I was waiting on you to get off work.
Yeah.
And it is, as you can imagine, not great at all.
Yeah.
The story takes place in, starts off in China in 1890, and it's kind of about this ex-warlord who's going to sell his fellow Chinese people to the slave market, I guess, in like America, you know, because we don't have slaves anymore, but we need somebody to build the railroads and all this stuff. Anyways, and then he's not really a superhero, but of course he knows karate and all this stuff.
That's all it takes in the 70s.
What's that?
So that's all it takes in the 70s.
Well, exactly. So anyways, he gets betrayed twice by the same woman who acts like she wants to kiss him and then knocks him out twice. Same exact thing. It was like they were like, we have five pages left. What are we going to do? Let's just do the same thing again. She'll lure him in with a kiss and knock him out. Anyways, long story short, I finally acquired one of these that was good enough to read. It's a little damaged, but 1973 is when this came out. So
that's cool.
Yeah, I thought of, oh, what, more than anything, I'm going to say a term, and I don't mean this in any derogatory way.
Okay.
But I've never heard this term used before. Have you ever heard the term coolie?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a 70s black term, I would say.
Okay, I looked it up because throughout the thing, the people that were like trying to sell these Chinese people into like a pseudo slavery and stuff were calling them coolies.
Oh.
And I was like, what the heck does this mean? And basically it means like a laborer, you know, a slave, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I've never heard that term before.
I've heard it, but I couldn't tell you where. But I've also, you know, ingested a ton of super old media. So.
Anyways, I learned a, I guess what is now deemed as kind of a racist term and stuff like that. So
pretty racist, yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
That's good. At least you're broadening your racism.
I mean, I guess in some ways that's 100% a true statement, but it was just really weird reading a comic from 1973 and see this term thrown out everywhere. And I finally was like, I had to stop and go look it up on Google, and there it was.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to run into whenever you read old stuff.
And I think the actual, like, it came from some term. I could be wrong on this because I don't have it in front of me and I'm not going to look it up. But it was spelled K-U-L-I.
Oh, okay.
And it meant something like a hard worker, you know, stuff like that. And then it probably started with that to become an insensitive remark eventually, right?
That's... So,
anyways, I guess if I find Yang by Charleston Comics number 2, I might actually buy it and humor myself by reading a terrible comic because it feels like that's what I do these days. Sure, it didn't last long, but anyways, Charleston Comics, there's a reason why they're not around anymore.
Yeah, I've been doing the same, so going through old comics and reading them, and you know, you just kind of have to accept that they're crap and enjoy the crap.
I'm reading, so we're going to talk a lot of comics, I guess, right here in the front. It won't be like this the whole time, I promise. I'm finishing up my Defenders run. Mm-hmm. I'm in the new Defenders type stuff. I'm in the 40s now, mid-40s. So I only have like 10 issues left or so before it ends. There's something bad and great at the same time with the 80s comics. It's kind of a nice thing to go, we need to go research this, or we need to go travel to this place instead of them like...
just pulling it up on the web?
Pulling it up on the web, yeah. Using a cell phone, whatever it is.
You know, I've noticed, I've been reading the current run of Green Lantern, and I'm not really digging it. I think maybe
it's
talking
about the latest run?
Yeah.
That started with Grant Morrison?
No, that was two versions ago or whatever.
Okay.
That was horrible. I hate Grant Morrison.
Okay.
No, it's on issue 20-something, I think, but maybe it's just I've changed or comics have changed, but it doesn't feel like stories so much as quick vignettes and bing, bang, bong, boom, boom, go. It's like one comic and they've done 25 different things. I think this is primarily Green Lantern Corps, which is trying to deal with 20 different people at a time. So it just feels very disconnected, even though they're connected. Like they had to collect all this crap to create brand new lanterns for each color. And then Starheart was out making his own. And that seems like something that would take a long time. And it all got done in like 2 issues. Just like, oh, we just went here and found it. Oh, we went there and found it. Oh, we went this.
There
feels
there
weird.
There is some magic by reading old stuff pre like 1990.
Mm-hmm.
Just because like they would sow seeds of something that might not happen, come to fruition until like 10 to 12 issues later.
Yeah.
Which is a year, you know, in real life as you're waiting for these books. Because they weren't written for trades and collecteds. They were just written to be, you know, drawn out stories and soap operas and everything. Anyways, I've been really enjoying all these old 80 comics and stuff that I've read. Are they great? No. But I can only imagine, instead of reading like 5 issues of Defenders in a row, how I say there's a magic when you read a comic and you have to wait a month before you read the next comic, because
for sure.
Your brain allows you to think about it and imagine things, and you're your brain fills in gaps of things that maybe didn't sit right with you, but you justify like, oh, well, that makes sense because Guy Gardner, he had a smirk on his face, so he probably knew this or whatever. There's a magic to that, and you lose a little bit of that when you read five issues in a row, but at the same time, you can see what... Anyways, you can see that they were built for that pause.
Yeah.
And everything.
The best example I have is Astro City. One of the issues builds up this character the whole time, tells his backstory. You get to know him. He ends on a happy note, and you got a whole month until the next issue. Then it opens with him dead. But in a collected edition, you just read a story, and then he's happy, and then you turn the page, and he's dead.
Right.
And it's just, it doesn't have the same feeling. Like World War Hulk, when I read the whole thing collected, it was like, yeah, it was a fine story, but month to month, it was a year and a half or whatever.
Right.
But
so, yeah, I'm in agreement with you. So, last comic note, I started rereading G.I. Joe. Did I tell you this?
No.
I don't know if I talked about it the last time we recorded since we're doing this weekly. So, yeah, like 2 weeks ago, I, for some reason, wanted to read G.I. Joe number one. So I have the old Marvel trades of the first 50 issues.
Yeah.
And I pulled one off my shelf and I was like, I should just read number one because it's been a long time. And then I was reading it and I realized that they didn't put a second story in there because G.I. Joe issue one had two stories. And so I pulled that out. I don't have my original because I got it graded. So I pulled out Tales of G.I. Joe that reprinted the same thing and finally got to read the second story in there. And then I was like, that was kind of cool. I'm going to try to read one of these a day until I, you know, get through the first 50 or so.
Yeah.
Because I thought maybe there was like 20 issues of the first 50 issues that I probably hadn't read because Robert had them. And I thought, well, I probably looked through them and read a couple panels here and there, just get the gist of the story. I'm finding out that my number might be off. There might be 30 issues I didn't read of the first 50 and only read like 20 because I'm reading stuff. Now it's been 35 years as well, but I'm reading stuff going like, I don't remember this at all. Oh, I didn't know. Oh, this is where that character died. I knew he was dead, but I didn't know it was here, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
That's cool.
It's been kind of fun. And at the same time, you can see like how they started off was definitely different, you know, than what we currently have. But anyways, enough comic talk, unless you got more.
I've always got more, but we should probably just get to Blood Bowl.
All right.
I'm telling you, we could just do a whole another comic podcast.
What would it be called? Just two old guys bitch about comics?
No, that's just the premise of every comic book podcast.
No.
We could name it that and just be like, lean into it. Yeah. Like, we're one of a thousand out here. Nobody cares, but we're doing it anyways.
So today we are going to talk about, this wraps up our month of weeklies. I can't believe like we did this without anything going, having a problem yet. And I shouldn't say that because my internet has still continually have copped out over the last couple weeks.
Right.
We will be talking about my trip to the Lone Star Open a couple weeks ago and Steve's recent trip to the
Bloodweiser Babes and Prayers in Colorado Springs.
Okay. So that's what we got going for us. We'll probably wrap this up in an hour or less, and then we'll be back to doing monthlies at least for a little bit. I mean, this has been kind of fun to catch up on a Monday, and at the same time, it feels like super pressure not to mess it up. So,
yeah, I mean, go ahead and go if you want.
Oh, that's right. We're not taking breaks.
There's no need to take a break.
No need to take breaks. Okay, so the Lone Star Open was a Frontier Gaming event with like,
Frontline Gaming.
What did I say?
Frontier.
Oh, Frontier. Oh, wow. I just read a book called Frontier. So, comic. That was that cool comic that's on my Facebook feed that I was talking about.
Oh, yeah.
You said it looked like Mobus. Anyway, sorry. Frontline Gaming. I guess they took over the old big event that was ran in Texas. Is that how that happened?
I think they've been the one running it the last couple of years, but I'm not positive.
Okay. Somebody told me it was a bunch of military guys that rented a big hotel space and did Warhammer and all this
stuff. I thought that was the Warhammer Grand Open or whatever. Because I've dealt with those guys before, trying to put stuff together, and yeah.
Okay. That's well, whatever the case is, Lone Star opened this year. They had, you know, 40K, then every type of miniature game there possible. If you played Marvel Crisis Protocol, you could play that. If you wanted to play Kill Team, it was there. I mean, just everything seemed to be there. And of course, Blood Bowl was too. So, Drew Bucciacone ran these events. We had for day one, it was a regular tournament called the Lone Star Throwdown. And for day two, he went with the Dungeon Bowl to see, you know, just to try something different. So going into this weekend, I was way more excited to play Dungeon Bowl than Blood Bowl for a couple reasons. I was planning about a month to 6 weeks out. I was planning on playing Nurgle this weekend. And it was going to be the same theme of my Pox Hollow Blight Crusaders, which is a play on the Bright Crusaders. And I was just looking forward to kind of playing Nurgle, even though I knew they would suck, but it was a tournament where I could stack some skills if needed.
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera. They were in a lower tier, so they got a little bit more stuff. And then a couple weeks before this, I was like, why isn't I have the little badge in the NAF that says all teams played? And then I came across something somewhere, or somebody talked to me or whatever. You have to play three games now in the NAF to qualify for your team to be just like you get that those badges. Yeah. I guess this prevents people from, I know at some point there was a tournament like four rounds with four different teams so people could knock off things, which I get totally, but I did not know this. So like 5 years ago when the Black Orcs came out or so, 4 years ago, I played them in a tournament. We had somebody who left the tournament early because their son hurt themselves. It was a toddler.
Yeah.
And so they had to leave after one round. So I got to play the last two rounds in the Orchidus Open. And it didn't qualify because I didn't know, only had two games, not three games. And I did not know this. So I found that out. I was like, God dang it. I guess I'll play Black Orcs again. So I switched my team to Black Orcs, had some conversations with Brian too. We talked Black Orcs for a little while, some strategies, some skills, etc. And I went ahead and themed them up just like I did my goblins to the Orcagoba City Thunder. But of course, this was the Black Orc version of it. So I could force myself to try to have fun with Black Orcs, which are not real fun to play with.
I've enjoyed them. Like, the first time I played them, I wasn't huge on them because I was new to it. But giving them a couple of skills and just going to hurt people and foul them,
well, they've been fun. That is the right strategy. And even Brian, too, talking to him, he was like, you're just going to have to foul a lot and keep that game going. So round one, I face off against Ake the Snake, which is what's his name? Adam Kazaka.
Oh, you know, yeah. Kachalka?
Yes, I'm not saying his last name correctly, but Adam's a good player. He's won tournaments with Black Orcs before. He had a Chaos team. The opening roll for the kickoff is the one where the ref starts a fight with somebody on your team. And, of course, before the ball lands, I'm down to 10 guys because he kicks a guy out of the, out of the game.
Oh,
so fun. You can tell how happy I am already. Ball lands. He picks it up. He proceeds to hurt two of my guys on the first play.
Casualty or just knockout?
I believe one's knocked out, one's casualty.
Jeez.
So, yeah, I am down to like eight dudes. And at this point, I'm mad as hell. And I just start going, screw it. I'm just going to start bashing stuff, fouling stuff. And I did. And by turn six, I had a couple of his guys off the pitch. My armor held up. Slow but surely, he went ahead and he scored on like turn eight. I had one play left. I threw a goblin. It was perfect and wonderful in there always. And I scored to make it 1-1 at halftime. Second half happened. Got close, but not close enough, but he couldn't score. So this game ended in a 1-1 tie. It was a real struggle. Lord Borak is just a bitch hog, man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how nobody gets caught with him, but if I play him, I'll get caught. I guarantee you. Oh, yeah,
for sure.
Because that was kind of the theme, is I did foul a lot, and that's where I got my casualties, not from punching people or anything like that. It was just from fouling a lot and getting caught, but still continuing to foul. But I had bribes and stuff, so that helped out a lot. Round two, I played Kenny Hudman. He's Shambling Undead. Kenny's a really good coach. I've played across from him, but never against him when we had our team event last year in Texas. We had a very, very close game, and he eventually scored us 1-0. I was down a bunch of players at this point, and there was 2 plays left. I decided, screw it. I got all my rerolls because I've been saving them for this. 2 plays left in the game. I can score. You know, I can hold him off. Sure enough, I do a perfect landing, a perfect throw. I get the, you know, it goes forward towards the end zone. I get the perfect landing. But the kickoff result was reset the clock back 1. And I did not want to give him 3 plays to score. So I chose not to go into the end zone. And then I cover as many of his people as I possibly can, forcing him to, like, do some dodges, do some rushes, and just hope that, like, he just doesn't roll well. And all of that worked out pretty good, except for the hit on the ball carrier. He got exactly what he needed, and then the ball fumbled around there for a while. And I had 1 chance at the end to throw a little dinky pass into the end zone, but, of course, I won reroll 1 to dodge away to get the guy in the end zone. So, long story short, I probably should have just scored.
Yeah, for sure.
And played defense, but I was really frustrated at this point because, again, I was down to like 8 total guys. And I had like a 13 or 14 man roster.
Yeah.
And I was down to 8 guys left on the pitch because he just beat the hell out of me. My standard Blood Bowl game is playing down. And so I was frustrated. Probably the wrong move.
If Nuffle gives you a 1-turn touchdown, you take it.
I know.
And if you don't, he will get his revenge on you.
Yeah, I know. It happened. So this could have been 1-1 and then forced him to try to make the big play, but it did. I didn't do it. So I should have. Right. Probably should have, but he had all his rerolls. So I was like, man, 3 turns. I know I could score with undead in 3 turns versus 8 guys, most likely, but oh well. So going into the last round, I play against AI the Buffy Cat. This is his name. I don't remember this gentleman's name. He had a Chaos Renegade team. He was, I guess, visiting from Arkansas or somewhere, or Kansas or somewhere. He was down there for a business trip, and I guess he plays on Fumble quite a bit with some of the guys, and they were like, there's a tournament this weekend, so he stayed a couple extra days or came in early. I can't remember which is the way he was going with the business trip, but he got to play Blood Bowl. We played his Chaos Renegades versus my Black Orcs. I went up 1-0 in the first half, kept putting pressure on him. It ended up being 2-0, but I scored in the very, very last play, and it was one of those handoff to a dude, you know, do 2 rushes, handoff, go all the way, do 2 rushes to score. So, like, it took a lot of work, but it really wasn't a 2-0 game. But anyways, close game. I went 1-1-1. I kept doing the fouls just like I was supposed to. When it came to awards, Drew has an award called the Dirty Deeds, and it was the most casualties from fouling. Not most fouls, but most casualties from fouling.
Okay.
And thank God for trickle-down stuff because I got it. I think I was 2nd, I think is what Drew told me. There was a Snotling team, I believe, that won the Stunty Cup. And, of course, they foul every turn, too. So.
Yeah, of course.
So I got an award, so I was pretty happy about that. And that wrapped up day 1. The previous days, we went and we did some comic book hunting, drove down to place called Duncanville. I probably talked about it before. This mm-hmm. store has kind of everything if you're willing to pay for it, including toys. So, like, if you wanted an old hooded Cobra Commander figure, you could get it. You're just gonna have to pay for it. It's a really cool place to check out, that's for sure. So if you're ever visiting your brother, go to drive south of Dallas and go to Duncanville Comics.
It's actually called Duncanville Comics.
Yes,
it's a horrible name, but okay.
Oh, it's probably formed in 1974 or something, so
that's fair. Yeah,
but yeah, they have a lot of cool things there. So we dug around there. We even bought a random box of comics that was absolutely terrible. Drew and Gary bought one the time before. They thought it was fun. They talked me into it this time. It was just trash. I mean, like 20 issues of Robin from the 90s.
Jeez.
Bunch of crappy Supermans from the, I mean, there was not hardly anything in value. So much so that when Drew went to walk his dog, me and Gary took the comics that we didn't want. And we all got like 50 plus comics.
I think you mentioned this last time.
Yeah, I kept like 6 of them.
Yeah.
And then I put the rest in a box, and then we put it out in Drew's garage so he can deal with it later.
Free comics.
So we're going to find out if he listens to this podcast or not, because he'll, you know, complain and bitch at me. Went home, hung out. We didn't play many board games this trip. So it was kind of awkward. We only played the one, played some Dungeon Dice, and that's about it. Hung out, watched some football that night. Then next day we got up for Dungeon Bowl. So Dungeon Bowl I was really looking forward to because the Baytor Blackhearts, my Chaos Renegade team that I love the fluff behind, they got to play Gutter Bowl on the Year Zero at the Chaos Cup weekend, won that event. They played in your Sevens event for the Spiky Cup, the Chaotic Sevens event.
Mm-hmm.
Won that event. I played them several times in 11s. So now they played 11s, 7s, Gutter Bowl. And now I took the College of Metal to that way I could use all my human people and a few orcs and just call it the College of Metal and still call them Baytor Blackhearts. And I called it Baytor's School of Skullduggery, Brewery and Skullduggery or something like that. The College of Brewery and Skullduggery or I don't know, something to the effect. Built up the fluff. We get there, and the players are me and Gary, another gentleman named Jake, and Drew's going to have to play because nobody else shows up for day two.
Jeez.
Four people.
How many did you have the first day?
I believe 26, 28. I'm not 100% sure,
but still,
it was in the mid-20s. Yeah, yes.
So nobody cares about Dungeon Bowl is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, sadly, that's exactly what you're hearing. So this was a format where there was 6 treasure chests throughout the dungeon. Drew had these beautiful maps printed off. I think he got them from the Bonehead podcast or something. They did some rules.
Okay.
But there was like 2 different dungeons, and it had placements for the treasure chest. Drew got some really cool things, I guess, from Etsy, that they were little crafted treasure chests, 3D treasure chests. One of them had jewels in it, and the other one had an actual bomb in it. So you knew if you got the bomb, it was cool. Bad.
And there were 6 of them. Dungeon Bowl is the only variant that actually gets better the more you put into the sideline piece. I guess they're not really sideline, they're game pieces. But like having colored portals with the colored die and the treasure chests like that, when you actually add that to it, makes it a lot more fun.
I agree. The extra bling really helps make Dungeon Bowl feel better. In this format, there was 6 treasure chests. 3 of them had balls in it. 2 of them didn't. And you played, well, really the first 1-2 wins, but for tiebreaker purposes, we were supposed to play until all the balls were scored or the time ran out. Gary had the College of Shadows. Well, Drew also had the, what's that?
What was the time frame?
I think 2 hours and 15 minutes, just like a Blood Bowl round, something like that.
Okay.
Now, he got these rules from, I think, the Bonehead guys or something like this. It was like
that might contribute to the dislike of the game.
I don't know. I think a lot of people traveled up from Houston because they come in packs and they just didn't want to stay the night. And I get it.
That makes sense too. Yeah.
We decided to only play two rounds. So Drew had the College of Metal. I had the College of Metal. Jake had the College of Fire. So Dwarves and Ogres. And Gary had the College of Shadows. So in all these, both my games, first game against Jake, I scored first. And then just injuries happened and I couldn't score again. Then Gary beat Drew 3-0. So he played Jake. I played Drew. In my game against Drew, I scored first. And then I saw the importance of Imperial Nobility bodyguards with guard, because I didn't do that. I had some, but I did not have them with guard.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a big difference in those tight quarters. And I saw the writing on the wall, like a slow, slow death from Drew. So I elected to go ahead and throw the ball for a short pass into the end zone to try to just win 2-0. And of course, I was one number off, and the rest is history. The slow death happened. I finally begged Drew, like, just kill me. So he finally scored. He handed it off when he didn't need to. He could have waited a couple extra turns, but thank God he did. Gary won in his match 3-0. So Gary ended up winning, I guess, the Dungeon Bowl tournament.
Nice.
I mean, you can't help it that there's four people there, so it counts as a tournament win.
Absolutely, yeah.
I've won a tournament with four people, so I count it, so why not? And then what I didn't think about is other awards. And according to the NAF, I got the Dirty Deeds Award and a wooden spoon.
First wooden spoon.
Yeah, fuck that.
It makes for a tournament that is Dungeon Bowl, a weird format of Dungeon Bowl.
And the tournament I'm looking forward to the most, I get the damn wooden spoon. And I've said on this podcast that I'm never going to get the wooden spoon at a Blood Bowl tournament. I should have put asterisk.
This was not Blood Bowl. This was Dungeon Bowl.
If there's four people, there is a small chance I could get it.
Yeah, of course.
But yes, I was really, really angry. And for like 2 weeks, Drew didn't put this into the NAF system. So I thought maybe he's just going to sweep it under the rug and I don't even have to, you know, accept it. And here we are. So I got a wooden spoon in Dungeon Bowl. Kind of fitting for the fluff of the Baytor Blackhearts in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, four people, Dungeon Bowl. It doesn't count.
Thank God we only played two rounds because we're the only people that had to drive back from Dallas, and that got us home at like 6 o'clock, 6:30.
That's not bad.
So we appreciate. I know Jake really wanted to play three rounds just because he likes playing games and doesn't get to play Dungeon Bowl often. So I totally get it, but I really appreciate him accepting the idea that we just play two rounds to let the Oklahoma guys go home. I wish some more people would have just stayed around to hang out and play Dungeon Bowl. It was interesting. I just would pick my skills totally different. I picked skills like, you know, block, and maybe I should have a strip ball. Maybe I should do this. It's like, no, you should just, I should have took more bodyguards and more guard.
Yeah.
Because it's so stinking helpful. That skill alone killed me against Drew. So it is what it is. Congratulations to Gary, who won another tournament, like two tournaments in like 4 weeks. Lovely trip, and then this one. So really, that's all I got for you.
Well, let's go ahead and actually do take a break, because when we come back, I will be talking about my tournament that I went to in my rounds.
Awesome.
Both Down is brought to you by BigDealSwag.com. Check out Big Deal Swag for all your tournament swag and Both Down needs. All right, we are back, and now it's my turn to bore you to death with tournament details. I know people enjoy it. Just have to throw it in there. So I went to Bloodweiser Babes and Prayers, which Arthur McClellan puts on every year. It is a wild tournament where, aside from megastars, every inducement's half price.
So megas are not.
Megas are regular price, but everything else is half price. And that means you go up against crazy ass teams every round. So my
A lot of bribes.
Yeah. Bribes, rerolls, stars. So
rerolls are half price?
Yeah. Everything besides the players are half price.
Holy moly.
I know.
You could pay $10K to get 2 points on your fan factor?
I don't know.
Probably nobody even does that.
No.
Nobody cares.
So I decided, since I'm trying to do my 10 with each race, and I'm not going to Nova, where I was going to play High Elves, I took High Elves, and I was trying to figure out what star player to use, because why wouldn't you? Jeremiah Cool is not a megastar, and nobody remembers him. So,
yeah, that's cool.
He was very cool, living up to his name. Let me pull up.
So you hired him and made him a coolie.
Oh, dude. I didn't even think about that.
I was just trying to bring it back.
That is,
How weird is it that we talked about that term, but you just hired this guy. Well, you hired him. God. You did not enslave him. Good for you.
You're right. I'm glad you paid him. That's my bad, I guess.
What does he have all, since we're talking about him? Since it's been a while.
Yeah. There are the Cooladon Flashing Blades, and apparently I put that roster up since I've already played it.
So it's funny, because earlier this year at Drew's tournament where you could make one giant star, remember I loaded up a bunch of skills on a guy to make my version of Jeremiah Cool from second edition. So yeah. We both played Jeremiah Cool in the same year, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, but you know, obviously this one is the real one.
Well, clearly. I'm sure you had better results than I did with mine.
So he is 8-3, 1+, 2+, 9+.
He's 1+?
Yep.
Wow.
And he is 320 to play, but in this he's only 160, so much more reasonable. Block, diving catch, dodge, dump off, loner 4+, nerves of steel, on the ball, pass, sidestep,
Jesus.
And then his special ability, which once per game at the start of his activation, Jeremiah may declare a stab special action against an opposing player he is marking. After doing that, he can still move.
Wow.
So with him, I took 6 linemen, 2 blitzers with dodge, 2 catchers with block, and 1 catcher with block and dodge. And I took 4 rerolls.
Okay.
So nice, solid high elf team.
Yeah.
I mean, can't go wrong. First round, I end up going against Brent, who has his Tomb Kings, and he brought Count Luther. So I chose to receive. I did end up getting a Tomb Guardian down, and I tried to foul him because I had +2. I broke his armor, rolled double ones, and got called out. So there goes my bench. I was able to make my way down the pitch pretty easy, ended up scoring, kicked off to him. He put Luther in the backfield. Luther goes to pick up the ball, rolls a 1, then ends up re-rolling, getting loner, and picking up the ball. And it's Count Luther. All he's got to do is walk down the pitch, because it's freaking Count Luther.
Yeah, 5 strength, block, dodge.
Yeah. he ended up fouling me, and then he got caught and ended up rolling a 6 on Argue the Call. So he didn't need that, but he got it. I did try. So I made a desperate play. I ended up dodging into 3 tackle zones to hit Luther because he had the ball, obviously. And I ended up getting a push, and pow. So obviously he took the push, couldn't stop him. He just dodged away and walked right in. He received second half. It just goes crazy out of bounds. Couldn't do anything about it. So Luther gets the ball. No worries. I tried a couple of real desperate attempts to get Jeremiah in to hit him. Made all the hard dodges, like going through 2 or 3 tackle zones. And then each time I failed on the easy 2+ dodge. Like, make all the hard ones. I need the easy one. Not going to happen. So I'm just throwing people at him left and right. Can't do anything. He's got Luther and a Guardian far away from me. He's way close to the end zone. It's turn 5. I can't get to him. I've got, like, Jeremiah close to him, sort of, but he's on the ground. He ends up scoring. And in retrospect, talking to him, he doesn't know why. He should not have scored. So he gave me way too much time. He kicked off to me. And for whatever reason, he ended up putting Luther on, like, the left side of the line of scrimmage.
Okay.
So I set everybody up on the right side. And he also only put one guy in each wide zone. So all I had to do was move up, push the one guy out of the wide zone, put some people ahead of him, and then put Jeremiah right on the sideline, protected by people because sidestep. And then I just next turn walked right in. There was nothing to do. I mean, I had to dodge through a couple of people, but when you have 1+ agility,
right,
it's not bad. And you have dodge, so shouldn't be bad. So I ended up getting a tie, 2-2, which I did not expect. He should have won 2-1, but I will take it. Ended up being 5 casualties to nothing him. Second round, go up against Craig. And Craig has goblins with Vorag and Hatharc. Right.
So, wow.
Yeah, that's not fun. I did end up receiving, and I go just trying to do what I can. He's got the chainsaw on the pitch. I blitzed him 2 times. Each time, I got 2 pushes. And then I re-rolled each time into 2 more pushes. I couldn't knock him down. So I did end up scoring on my turn 2 just to try to get his secret weapons out faster. But he's got bribes. He rolled a 6 on argue the call. Nothing. Nobody really leaves. And then I go to kick it. He gets high kick. He puts Vorag right underneath it. He grabs the ball. He just goes down the sideline, and he's got Vorag right on the sideline, just straight up. And there's no real easy way to get in, but he knocked down one of my guys. So I tried jumping over my downed player just to push Vorag out of bounds. It'd be 2 dice uphill, but, I mean, why not? It's all I had. So I jumped into 3 tackle zones and ended up rolling a 3. And I didn't have any rerolls left, so down I go. Luckily, though, I didn't die. He did foul me, but he didn't break me, so that was thankful. He just goes down the pitch, can't really do anything. His bomber throws a bomb straight at his feet to try to blow up a couple of my guys, kills himself. So that was nice.
That sounds like my bombers.
Mm-hmm. Second half, I end up kicking to him. The ball goes out of bounds, and he gives it to Vorag again. He just straight walks down the pitch. I can't do anything. Vorag's a beast. And I've only got 3 strength, and even getting people on him, not much I can do. I'm scrumming. I'm fighting. Just can't do anything. One turn, I was able to chain push him back 2 squares just to make him hold out for another turn. And I had a guy on Vorag, so he had to dodge. So he goes to dodge, he fails, gets the loner, and then succeeds and scores. And Hatharc, he didn't do anything super amazing, but he can't get away from him. With that break tackle, he's just dodging left and right. He's going to blitz you. He's got 4 dice on every blitz, you know, it seems like, because he can always reroll 1. Just nothing I could do. So 2-1 loss, casualties with 3-1 him. And then final round, I go up against Arthur's Necro team.
So how many people are at this event?
This one only had 8, surprisingly. There's normally a lot more. Is Colorado
dying down, or is y'all just bad timing?
I guess just bad timing. I don't know. No one really had a good answer for it.
Okay.
I know a lot of the guys, one guy was injured, a couple of guys had overtime or something, but...
Was like your regulars there, like Mike and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just odd. I don't know.
That's okay. I mean, that's... Intimate setting still allows you to hang out and see,
oh, absolutely.
You know, sharing a lunch together, talk, everything. So
he has, this weekend, Austin from Nebraska came up.
Oh, that's cool.
So he went down with us. So that was always awesome. So 3 out of the 8 people were us in a carload. So he has Frankenstein to go with his Necro team. I end up receiving. And I just go down the pitch and I score in 2 turns. And at this time, I was like, I know I'm out of it. I'm not in the running. I just want to, maybe I can get most touchdowns because I'm elves. And I got Jeremiah and I got 8 movements. So let's see what I can do. So I kick off to him after I scored. The ball goes to the right side, 2 squares away from the line of scrimmage. His first action, he hits with Frank and gets double both down. And fails the loner. So I swarm the ball, protect.
Frankenstein is a very hard character, star player, to work into your team.
He's not good.
And he just doesn't feel good enough. And I want to play with the Frankenstein model that I have painted from second edition so bad. That's like my only enjoyment most of the time playing Necro is I still play with that model. I call him Frankenstein. But I do not actually hire the star player because it's not worth it.
No, 4 strength is nice, but no block and just too expensive. Yeah. Anyways, so I swarm the ball, hand it off to Jeremiah. He tries to put people in my way, but I'm able just to hand off the ball to a blitzer, dodge away, and get another touchdown. And now I kick off the ball. And again, it goes to almost the exact same spot. This time he does not this time he does not use Frankenstein first. He did put some people around the ball, and he actually was able to pick it up with his ghoul. So then he moves up, and he blitzes Jeremiah with the werewolf, and I use sidestep to put myself right next to his ball carrier, or closer to the ball carrier. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't able to get me down. So then on my turn, I finally remembered to use the Flashing Blade ability. I stabbed the werewolf, he goes down, and then I put Cool right on the ball carrier. I blitz him, knock him down, ball goes to an elf. He wasn't able to do anything to me on his turn, so I just end up running away and scoring on my last turn of the half. So I'm 3-0
at halftime?
3-0 at halftime.
Dude.
I know.
Did Arthur want to flip the table? Because that's what I sure would have wanted.
Not yet. So, kick off the second half. The ball goes 6 squares right to the line of scrimmage, right over Frankenstein, who fails to catch it. The ball goes over, and he gives it to his ghoul. His first action, though, he hits with Frank again and double skulls.
Jesus.
He does pass Loner this time, and he gets double both down. So I put people on both sides. I dodged, now that there's a hole right in the middle, I just dodged Jeremiah right up in the middle and just ton of pressure on him. He tries to move up, and then my next turn I'm able to hit the ball carrier, got the ball, did a handoff, and scored. Now the next kickoff goes almost straight to the left sideline. We get changing weather, and now the ball is on the very side square, right on the sideline. He does do some hits. He hits with a zombie, and he gets double both down. And he's got no rerolls. I move up, secure the ball, score in the next turn. I ended up winning 6-0, and he called it with a turn left.
So, you won 6-0?
Again, yes.
There is a greater chance I get a wooden spoon at a regular Blood Bowl tournament with eight or more people than me ever scoring 6-0.
Well, you got to play elves. That does help. And you don't tend to play elves.
Well,
he does end up getting 3 casualties to my 1.
Oh, and, big deal.
Yeah, I know. And like I said, going into that round, I was full bore trying to get points just because I had nothing else to play for. Obviously, I got best offense. So,
yeah, I imagine.
Yeah,
I imagine you did.
That'll happen. This was a weird tournament. The winning coach had a record of 1 win, 2 ties.
The winning coach?
Yeah. There were so many ties in this tournament that the winner and like the next 4 people or something had 1 win and 2 ties. Nobody had 2 wins.
So then it went to tiebreaker points and
I guess so. I didn't look at it too closely, but yeah.
That is crazy.
Isn't it? I don't think I've ever gone to a tournament like that.
Wow. I mean, a win's a win.
Oh, yeah, well. I mean, I would take it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
But after, like I said, I figured I was way out of it by having a tie and a loss. Come to realize I wasn't way out of it. I was just middle of the pack, I guess.
Right.
But it was a fun time. Kind of nuts getting 6 touchdowns again.
Again. See, you've done it before.
Yeah. A couple of times.
Nice. Crazy.
One of the years with Elves at the Christmas tournament. It was either 6-0 or 5-0. I can't remember.
Crazy.
And then last year in California, I went to that tournament. And last round, again, I had nothing to go for but most touchdowns and ended up getting 6 of them.
Insane.
Yeah. Elves, man.
Well, congratulations on your most touchdowns.
Thank you. I'm glad to take it.
Yeah. It's always nice getting some hardware out of an event.
Yeah, if you're going to go to all the trouble of going, might as well get something.
Right, exactly.
My next tournament's going to be September 23rd up in Wyoming, Laramie.
Nice. You and Craig going?
I don't know. I'm at least going. I don't know who else is. It's only a couple hours from here. It's a nice drive.
Okay. I'm planning on trying to go to Lubbock here in a month.
Cool.
So we'll see if I make it to Matador Melee. I think it's 5, maybe 6. I don't remember.
I don't either.
If you are planning on going to Matador Melee, me and Steve do have the insight on like one of the painted teams that Dustin's doing, and it's incredible.
It does look awesome, yes.
I mean, if there's an incentive to go, that is my incentive. I probably shouldn't have told anybody and asked Steve to edit this out of the podcast because I would like 4 people to show up so I have a 25% chance of winning it.
Mm-hmm. Totally get it.
But it's pretty nice. So. That's it then, right? So
all a shout out? Do we have shout outs? What do I have?
Well, I'm going to say it anyways. Shout out! How about that?
Okay, I got nothing. I know a couple people reached out to get some sponsorship for their tournaments. One in Iowa? Headbangers Ball, whatever, 5 or 6. Sent some stuff to them. And then sent some stuff down to Venezuela because they're... Is it Venezuela? I don't know. Somewhere.
Like Fernando,
I'm sending stuff to everywhere.
Fernando Valenzuela?
Yes, Fernando Valenzuela, ex-pitcher for the Dodgers.
The zombie? Yep. He's a zombie now, I think.
Yeah, well. So if you would like some tournament support, feel free to go to bigdealswag.com and buy some, or just hit me up and I'll send you crap.
I would like to do a shout-out to Drew, who ran the events at the Lone Star Open the weekend of the Lone Star Throwdown, and the actual Dungeon Bowl itself was called the Feast of Flames tournament. I know it's hard to run tournaments totally by yourself, so this is why me and Steve always have a buddy. and I highly suggest that to all tournament organizers to have your built-in buddy to be your odd man out, etc.
Yeah.
You know, just to help you with pressure on everything. So tournament went smoothly. I think we had to cram into a couple of tables just because they didn't give us enough to, like, we went over the allowance. Oh. But I mean, it was a great problem to have. I think they, that's why I think there was 28, because I think they only allowed 24 is what they said, but we went over.
Should have talked to the guy there.
What's that?
You could have talked to Mike, the guy who does the table setups and everything. They probably had another table.
I don't know. I tried to stay out of it. We had some cool dice for the tournament, and then Drew got some like bigger dice than normal for the Feast of Flames event, and I kind of liked them, Steve. Huh. Now, I don't know the cost that Drew spent on them.
Yeah.
They might have been more expensive, surely.
Sure.
Because they were bigger. But I did like the feel of them. They were just a little bit more chunky and stuff.
So they're not the super big ones?
Not the super big ones. These were, what are the normal dice? Are those like
16 millimeter?
I don't think they're 16. I think they're 32s, but I could be wrong. Let's just act like a normal dice is 32 millimeter. This side would be like 44 or something. I don't know. It was just a slightly bigger than the normal dice that we use for tournaments.
Okay, so 16 millimeter is what they normally are.
What are they?
16 millimeter.
Okay. So these,
they have maybe a 19 or a 25.
These had to be 25s then, if I had to guess.
Okay.
Or, I mean, it could have been the 19. It wasn't either way super big. Yeah. It was just a little bit bigger. It kind of felt cool. I liked the dice. I liked how they felt.
It's nice when they're bigger in your hand. Yeah. How nice it is when the big one's in your hand.
Yeah, it's like, ooh, my hand is small to this big thing in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Been there.
God. With all that said, though, I'd like to thank Drew for that. He also had some the tournament prizes for, like, I should have got it for you. It was like this, not a plaque, but it was like this clear looking trophy for the Dirty Deeds. It was like looked like those things in 2001, like a obelisk or whatever.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool, and it had this like texture stuff on it, and
that's cool,
engraved in it for the Dirty Deeds. So since we left right after the Dungeon Bowl tournament, I hope he's going to hand me one that says Wooden Spoon and Dirty Deeds so I can put those in the case, because at the very least they were cool, even though like I don't want those awards. So
that's fair. Yeah,
but if I'm gonna earn them by losing, I'm going to take the damn things and put them in my little trophy cabinet. So my kids will have something to just throw out in the trash when I die.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So anyways, thanks Drew for running those events, and thanks for letting us stay with you and all that stuff and running us around Dallas. So I just wanted to thank him for all those goodies. So
cool.
Other than that, I don't have much else to tell you, except I guess we have like 70 degree highs right now.
Wow.
In Oklahoma. Like, I guess something, the polar cap dipped down or something, and it's rainy. It's nice and cool here. Mm-hmm.
It's the way it is here.
Well, isn't it always there?
No, it's been hundreds. We have more hundreds days this year than you guys did, I think.
Oh, wow.
Going to the Cubs game this weekend, at least one. Not sure which.
Ooh, at the Rockies?
Yeah, they're coming into town.
That's cool.
Yeah, I think I'm working late Friday, so probably not then. And then Saturday, if it doesn't rain, I don't know. But I think Sunday will be fine.
Yeah, you should go. Try to see if you can change their mojo.
They've actually been doing pretty good lately-ish.
Well, I know. But
yes, totally
understand. I saw the Brewers lost last night, so I was happy about
thank
that.
Thank God. Yes.
Do you have anything else for me?
Nope, nothing. I don't know when we'll be back. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks? It's a surprise.
We're going to shoot for 2 weeks, but it's probably realistically going to be 3 weeks.
Do we have anything to talk about in 2 weeks?
I don't know. I mean, we'll talk about...
We'll figure something. We could always go back to fluff.
We can go back to like All New Yang number 2.
All New Yang number 2. If you have... anyone out there has old comics that you don't want, send them to me, and then...
Yeah,
Steve, I will send Yang number 2 to Scott.
You know, I've been reading those Defenders.
Yeah.
And I decided to go back and try to get the old ones slowly and as cheap as possible. Mm-hmm. So I've started doing that stupidly.
That's cool.
because I hate Roy. I do not like Roy Thomas, his writing. I mean, like, I understand he was a big deal for that era, but man,
I liked his Avengers stuff, but I couldn't tell you what it was.
Yeah, I'll give him another chance, but I'm going to try to eventually read Defenders 1 through 91.
I was proud of myself. I had bid on a Showcase 21, and it went over the $10 I wanted to bid on it, and I didn't go any further.
I am proud of you. I had one of those moments this weekend. I found out there's a Cobra Commander classified figure in his battle armor.
Ooh.
And they made an Alpine figure, which I guess was made at least a year ago that I didn't know about. And I wanted, as a kid, I always wanted Alpine because I had Bazooka from the TV show. And I was like, I'm going to go look for those. So when we went comic hunting this weekend, I went to the two stores that would also have action figures.
Yeah.
And Gary and Robert split off. They went to go see a movie. And I didn't find those, but I found a Dr. Mindbender figure that I wanted and a couple other like Cobra guys that I wanted. And I was really proud of myself because I told myself, no, we already agreed that if we found Cobra Commander and Alpine, that's what we're buying. Otherwise, we're not buying nothing. And then I still held it in my hand and walked around the store. And eventually, I'm proud to say I was a real big boy and I put it back on the shelf. And I told myself, now is not the time. Maybe in a couple weeks you'll have a next, because you know action figures now are $25 at least.
Man,
and it's hard to justify when you crack them open, pose them like three times, and then put them on your shelf. So,
yeah, it's so hard too because those figures are amazeballs.
And they are, and they're not. They're really hard to pose because they're so stiff. But the good thing is once you find a pose you like, they won't just collapse on you.
Yeah.
But man, there's times I feel like I'm gonna break my hand trying to bend these knees and stuff on some of these.
I haven't bought any. I've been tempted many, many times.
Don't, because once you buy one,
I know me.
You know, I don't have as many as like Johnny and I don't know if Extreme buys them, but I know Johnny does.
Yeah.
Over at Slurpcast, and I probably have. I would have told you up until like this weekend. I probably have maybe 20. I probably have closer to 40.
I think Tony in Arizona has all of them.
Who?
Tony. Out of Arizona. Really? Mm-hmm.
Lucky guy.
So if you go out to Tucson Monsoon, which is coming up, I don't know when, talk to him about G.I. Joes.
Okay. I did find... I stopped at a Walmart to get some other things. Then I went and checked the toy section because that's what you do as a grown man that's 51 years old. And they had a Darklon figure, which I never had as a kid. And I didn't really care for it, but I thought he looked cool because he was like Destro's nephew or cousin or something like this. And they also had like an Alley Viper and a Blowtorch. Well, I decided just to get the one Darklon figure because there was only one left. And I went to go purchase it and it rung up only $10 at Walmart, and I was like, wait a second, if this is $10, maybe the other ones are $10. And then I went back to the toys and I grabbed the other ones and I came back, and long story short, only the Frag Viper and Darklon was $10, Blowtorch was $25, so I put him back. I did get two figures for less than the price of one, so thank you Walmart for mislabeling your toys.
I don't remember Darklon at all.
Oh, man.
Like, I'm looking at him. I still don't remember him.
He was about the time that I was phasing out of getting toys, but yeah. I thought he kind of looked cool.
He's got to be early 90s, right?
I'd say 88, 89. He was after Serpentor.
Yeah, that makes sense, because that's when I got out.
So
even as a kid, I'm like, you jumped the shark.
What I do when I buy my figures, though, I put them in the closet in the package, and then I just wait. And then about 6 months, 8 months, maybe a year, I'll go, oh, I forgot about this guy, and I'll pull him out. And when I'm down, I'll be like, oh, I get to open this toy.
Nice.
So, okay. Anyways, enough ranting over just bullshit. So, anyways, it was nice doing this for 4 weeks. I hope everybody liked it. Please let us know I know the three people that always listen are going to say they like it, but if there's somebody else out there besides those three people that want to email us and let us know what you thought about these 4 weeks, should we make this like a August tradition? I don't know, maybe.
Okay. That's like, we're not doing this every week.
No. But like maybe
until we get to 200, tradition. Maybe, but no, this is a lot.
Anyways, thank you for listening and putting up with us over these 4 weeks. We are now finally caught up on everything that we know of Blood Bowl. And no, everybody's asking me. We have no clue if there's going to be a new edition out.
No idea.
People, the guys at the store think I'm full of crap because they just do. There's like, there's too many rumors out. You have to know something. Okay. You believe what you want to believe. We do not know nothing.
So. We had to sign, if we had an NDA, we had to sign new ones because obviously we couldn't tell you if we had one because that'd be a violation of having an NDA. And I emailed the GW rep because he's also like, hey, you going to any of these events coming up? I'm like, I'm going to LVO. And I replied to him like, hey, any news on Blood Bowl? Nothing. They never reply. They just send stuff out. Like, we'll get a message eventually, be like, hey, something new's coming to your inbox. Cool. And then it shows up and we're like, oh, cool.
Yep, but I don't buy the rumors for a new box until I see actual real proof. So.
I have no doubt there will be a new box. I just don't think it's going to be a complete redone game. But who knows?
Okay. Think it's going to be this year?
I can't see why they wouldn't.
I can't see why they would.
Because it's been a while, and they can make money. And they haven't put down anything in a while.
Well, then maybe they shouldn't short print run all these dice and stuff. They could make a lot of money that way.
No crap.
Anyways, all right. Steve, it's been a pleasure. I hope you have a good time at the Cubs game and all that stuff. And I'm going to get medicated and go to sleep, fall into a coma.
Sounds good.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You can follow Both Down on Twitter at Both Down. You can follow Scott at Fat Finley, FatFinley, and Steve at Kilowog2814. If you want to know if your team name is Both Down approved, send a tweet to at BD approved. If you'd like to email them, the email address is BothDownPodcasts@gmail.com. Or for more information, you can visit them at BothDown.com or at Facebook.com/BothDown.
Cool, right? I want you to check this out. Cool. Hey, can I try that? Hey. You're not my friend.
No, I'm just kidding with you.
Hey, man, who's that weird dude you're talking to, bro?
My friends are here. Oh, cool. So, see you later.
G.I. Joe.